All right, so today we're going to be dealing with the first four chapters, or looking at the first four chapters in Strong Man's His Name, What's His Game? An Authoritative Biblical Approach to Spiritual Warfare. Now, before we jump into the topic of these chapters, I wanted to read something in this book that's still in the introduction. I mean, there's a lot of meat here in this book. And, he says, there is talking about can believers be possessed? And he says, this is his approach. He said, we do not believe that believers can be possessed by evil spirits, but they certainly can be attacked in their minds, in their wills, emotions, and in their bodies. They can be troubled, pressed, buffeted, harassed, depressed, obsessed, oppressed, in bondage, and bruised. Those people who are in the final state of possession are indwelt, have long since severed their relationship with the Most High. Says they may still hang on to a form of godliness, but it is only an empty shell camouflaging their true spiritual condition. So that's what we have here. That no, a true, a servant, a believer, a servant, a child of Yahuwah cannot be possessed. You know, they may experience different things, like he says, different oppressions, harassment. But when people get to the state of possession, they have long severed their relationship with Yahuwah. Even though they can appear to be going through the motions, but they have severed the relationship and can be now, possessed or indwelt with something other than Yahuwah, with an evil spirit. And I don't know, you all may want to take your mute off. I'm kind of like in the, you know, like to hear from the choir, like an amen, that's right, because I'm talking and it's like everything is silent and it just sounds so not to hear anybody, but y'all can do what you want to do, but it's just a little different, okay? All right, and so in Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Elohim and Mammon." And it's true that Mammon refers to the riches in this verse, but the principle still remains true that it is either Elohim or the enemy that rules in our lives, not both at the same time. So
All right.
Elohim and the adversary cannot both rule us at the same time. It's going to be one or the other. And in James 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olives berries? Either a vine bear figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water?" And then lastly, I want to read in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. It says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of Elohim, and the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is set apart, which temple you are." So as we go into these four different areas, we want to know and let other people know that we have to keep ourselves clean from these things. These areas, they are defilements. They are defilements. And when they are defiled, Yahuwah says he will destroy that temple. He will destroy that vessel that has any defilement. Now, I know back in the day, I mean, I'm 45, but I remember growing up in the 80s as a child and hearing in the holiness assemblies, they always would talk about you got to be ready and be without spot or wrinkle. That was something that was ingrained in us as children. And I think, you know, as time has gone on and the religious lines and the social lines have blended, and there's not that clear distinction in the world when it comes to re religion, especially the Christian religion and society. And you assemblies a lot, just even the Christian realm, don't talk
Right.
about without spot or blemish or spot or wrinkle like they did when we were kids. And that's something that we never want to get away from, because I think knowing that and believing that truth and always having that before us, it always kind of kept us in this frame of mind that I can't afford to let any of these things get attached to me, or I
That's
can't
right.
afford to get involved or tap into any of these things, because the Father says without spot or wrinkle.
Right.
And if I have these things, and I can't gain interest into the kingdom. And this is all about gaining kingdom entry. This that's why we're living this life. You know, Yahuwah allowed us to be birthed into this earth to know him and to accomplish the purpose for which he made us. And then to also, once we've done his will, to receive our reward of the kingdom. That's the only reason why we exist. Now we experience other things and we do other things, but this is the real reason why we exist on this earth. So spiritual warfare, just going back, always want to keep this spirit, this scripture in Joshua. I will read it again. I won't read the one in Ephesians, but I love this, so that we know that we can be strong and courageous, and we can overcome and fight any battle and uproot anything out of our lives that's not like Yahuwah. It says, no man is going to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Mashah, so I am with you. I do not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you are to let this people inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to guard, to do according to all the Torah which Mashah, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it right or left, so that you act wisely wherever you go. And do not let the book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, or you shall speak on it day and
Yes.
night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and
Yeah.
act wisely. So that is the key, the formula for true success, for true prosperity. Okay, and then remember the ones in Ephesians. All right. So we're going to start here with chapter one. Chapter one is first talking about the spirit of divination. And they give us this story starting out in Acts 16, 16 through 18. And I went back and I read that portion of scripture, and I'm going to read it out here. And this is in Acts. Luke is telling us about this occurrence. It says, it came to pass, excuse me, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, and in some translations you'll see it'll say a slave girl with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Shaul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High Elohim, which show us the way of salvation. And she did this many days. After a while, Shaul was grieved and turned and said to the spirit he commanded by the authority of Yahuwah for that spirit to leave her. And it says, and it came out of her the same hour. Now, I thought about this. This girl, she was known, this young lady was a soothsayer. She was in divination. And we see here in the screen of divination is the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural powers. And so this is what she did. And I looked at this portion, and you all can talk about this and, share your thoughts on this, that I think her status was very key to this situation. She was a slave. She was a slave. She was not a free woman. And from we can see from the text, she was a young lady, probably a teenager. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't an adult woman, so she was a slave. And her masters, they used her for this soothsaying business that they had. And so really, she was in a position where she had been taken advantage of and was being controlled by someone else. And so when Shaul, this, is confronts this, it appears that she's saying the right thing. She says, these the servants, the Most High Elohim, will show unto us the way of salvation or the way of deliverance. And I said, she probably didn't know that she was going to end up being delivered that day. But maybe there was something in her who, yet though she was practicing this because of her condition and actually being a victim of in society as a slave girl, maybe something in her wanted to be delivered. Because when Shaul addresses this spirit through the authority of Yahuwah, the text says the spirit leaves. And I know last week we talked about that a person can only be delivered if there is a desire to be delivered. No matter how big or small, if they desire to be set free, that's the only way they can be set free. That's the only way. And so many times, people, like we said, are prayed for and they're not being delivered, or we're praying for people. Well, it's because that person is at a point now, they're not ready to be delivered. Then they're not desiring to be set free just yet. For whatever reason, sometimes these strongholds, they in a way make people sometimes feel empowered. They make people feel like they're getting some type of benefit from this particular stronghold or this thing that they're attached to, because if they weren't, most times people wouldn't deal with it. But sometimes people, they're gaining something fleshly from the stronghold. That's why they're not ready to let it go. So divination, we need to know what divination, there are these different, I say, cohorts or sub-spirits that you will find commonly with divination, which is, we see on the screen, fortune tellers, soothsayers, warlock, witches, sorcerers, stargazers, zodiacs, people who are in the horoscopes, using horoscopes to help govern their lives, drugs, and this is also talking about pharmakeia, pharmakos, the Greek word for drugs, which deals with pharmacy and pharmakeia. We have the scripture references on that, which the scripture talks against. Speaks against this practice and this constant use of this. We have rebellion. We have in 1 Samuel 15, 23 says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and idolatry as the sin of stubbornness. So when there is like the tree of this divination, you're going to have these branches of these other things. And rebel, if you find divination, you're going to find rebellion. If you find rebellion, you're going to find witchcraft. That's just how it works. And then you have hypnotist, enchanter, magic, and all these other things. And so we know the spirit of divination, Yahuwah hates it. He hates this practice. Under the law, these people were dealt with in a certain way. All right,
That's
he
right.
hates divination. And I'm going to read what they were believe. Let me see. They had to rid the camp of people like this.
Yes, they did.
They had to get rid of them. They could not tolerate in the camp of Yasharal, people involved in these practices were not tolerated. So Yahuwah hates divination because it leads people to seek satanic or evil intelligence for guidance instead of seeking him and his word.
That's right.
That's why he hates it. If we want to know about our lives or the course that we should take, we need to go to Yahuwah. We can go to Yahuwah. We don't have to go into horoscopes and zodiacs or talking to people who we know dabble in that stuff to see if they would slip and say something, quote unquote, give a word to us. We don't need to do that. All we need to do is seek Yahuwah and be in a position so that he can lead us, so that he can show us the way, so that he can give us some light or give us some intelligence about our lives and the course he means for us to take. As
That's
Yahuwah's
right.
children and servants, we cannot mix the guidance of the Ruach with that of the evil one without experiencing severe consequences. So sometimes what happened, people, they'll think that they can do both. that they can, okay, you know, I read my word, I do Torah, I talk to Yah, but then sometimes people, they be dabbling in this stuff. And when that happens, they are going to experience severe consequences. The adversary, the evil spirits will overtake them, because Yahuwah is not going to tolerate that. You know, the moment people want to step and start dabbling in that realm, it's like, okay, Yahuwah, he steps back. See ya. Because he is set apart. He's pure. He's righteous. He will never be touched with that which is evil. And he will never dwell in a vessel that chooses to start dabbling with evil. His spirit will not. So that's why they are severe consequences when people try to play both sides. Any comments or questions? I thought I saw a hand. Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to add to what you're saying, that we have to be very careful of this spirit, even in religious settings.
Yes.
And it's just as prominent in that setting as out there in the world. But one thing, as you said in this Second Corinthians scripture you have up here, about, you know, righteousness and unrighteousness come out from among them and be separate. Once you know a person's life, if their lifestyle is not geared towards set apartness, righteousness, and striving to be without that spot or wrinkle you spoke of, they are very capable in religious setting to be operate ministers, evangelists, you know, very capable to be operating in the spirit of divination. So we have to guard ourselves at all times and know them that labor among you. You can't let people just come on into your setting and
right.
start trying to give words and predict this and say that. You just have to be very careful.
That's right. That's right. We have to be very careful, because those religious settings sometimes can be, whoo, they can get complex. And you have to know those who are laboring among you. You have to know those who are coming in and visiting among you too. And really, and if you know that maybe certain people or this person may have this spirit on them, you got to be on guard. You have to be on guard in the assembly, in our private lives, but even the assemblies, you have to be on guard, because you have to be ready to do what needs to be done if that spirit and that person decides to act out. And spirits will challenge. They will challenge the authority of Yah. They will challenge the people of Yah. They will challenge the leaders and the pastors and the shepherds that Yahuwah put in place. They will challenge. So it is really important that we as believers, and those of us in the Kahal, that when we know that certain people have these certain spirits, that our eyes are open, that we're
Eyes
prayed
open.
up, our eyes are open, we're prayed up, and we're watchful even as we're gathering, so that these spirits don't think that they can just act up and act out and challenge the authority of Yah. All right, I want to read something here in the book. He talks about, we know that Yahuwah, he speaks to us when we pray. That he speaks to us as we pray, as we stay in his word, as we fast, as we seek him, as we're meditating. Yahuwah, this is how he speaks to us. All right. And we want to always be in that position for him to speak to us. And we know we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. So we have to, in our daily lives, as we walk this walk, as we live this life, as we're walking with Yahuwah, our lives have to be proving and witnessing and testifying that we are proving Yahuwah's good, acceptable, and perfect will. We have to. It's not enough just to go through this life with the knowledge of Yah and the Torah, and we know that that is right. But if we can't prove the good and perfect and acceptable will, even for our own lives, then we're missing something. There's a breach, there's a break that needs to be repaired. Now he says he gave a very interesting story how some people in divination, they'll try to use handwriting analysis. And I don't know how many you have y'all heard of that handwriting analysis where people will look at how people write and they will try to divine or get into knowledge about that person and who they are by their handwriting. So the man here has a very interesting story. I'm going to read this real quick. He says, a few years ago, it came to my attention that an assistant pastor's wife was heavily involved in handwriting analysis. She had been analyzing not only the pastor's handwriting samples, but also those of the people in the church, many of them without their knowledge. She felt this would help her husband deal with them. When I pointed out the dangers inherent in such a practice, she became angry. I indicated in the word that Elohim had to say about prognostication and told her that if she continued now, after being warned, she could no longer claim ignorance. From that point on, she and her family would be out of the protecting hand of Elohim. She stormed away, informing me that her mother, who was supposedly that they say a good Christian, had taught her how to do it, and therefore it could not be bad. A few days later, she was driving down the road when the motor in her car suddenly caught fire. She barely had time to pull off the road and scramble to safety before the car exploded into flames. Instead of serving as confirmation of what I had told her, it enraged her all the more, and she accused me of putting some kind of hex on her. She later had an affair with a married man she ensnared in her web of deceit. So that's the thing about these sins, these strongholds. It just doesn't stop there. Lita Elder always says sin will always take you further than what you had planned on going, and it'll make you pay more than what you plan on paying, and it'll make you stay longer than what you plan on staying. So that's how it works. It's not just going to stay, in one place. Sister Linda, did you have your hand up?
I did.
Yes,
Do you,
ma'am.
you're saying that she, through the handwriting, they're trying to control that person who they analyzes their handwriting?
Yeah,
Is that?
their handwriting, they're trying to read into that person's life and like gain knowledge about them, about their personality, what's going on with them, where they're at emotionally, things of that nature.
So that's a form of divination.
Yes, ma'am, it's a form of divination. And they also talk about how we have to be careful about the things we bring in our home, because a lot of these things have spirit of witchcraft, divination, and the dark evils attached to them. So he says, be aware of souvenirs and idols, things that we get in our home and we have to know the origin of. And after, I think it wasn't this week, I think it was the week before, after we went there, I think through the first or second jump into spiritual warfare, I started, I've been going through my home just trying to be aware of things and try to make sure there's nothing hidden that I'm not aware of that could be, on the dark side, because sometimes it could be reading material, sometimes it could be products that we use, sometimes it can be different toys, because we don't always know the origin of things and who's making these things and what